This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late-night karaoke, especially late-night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. In my sports career, we always got preached the importance of the little things, whether it's having your hand behind the line on a sprint, finishing out every drill, or making sure you have the right 6-inch step to start a drive block on the offensive line. It all mattered. How you do the little things is how you're going to do everything, because small actions have big benefits. This is just like how taking care of your gut health can support your whole body health. With our friends at Seed and Seed's DS01, their daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I'm getting my first shipment on the way here, and I am pumped to try it out. The thing that stands out to me, in addition to all the great health benefits, is the convenience. You don't have to refrigerate DS01, and so the free travel vial that I'm going to get with the welcome kit, I can take on the go with me. I can have DS01 with me wherever I need it during my busy schedule. Your guy's gut is the central hub for all these various pathways throughout your body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. And everything with DO1 is backed by science. Lots of science. It was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with the new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DS01 a product you know you can trust. And the best part with prebiotics and probiotics, they work best when they are consistently used like any other routine health habits. So Seed's subscription service is easily going to build DS01 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo with Mike Golic Jr. That is me. With me, as always, on the ones and twos, super producer Brandon Newman and my father, Mike Golic Sr., fresh off of a 15-hour drive through the middle of these United States to get himself back out to South Bend. Dad, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. We made your mother, which is like, so everybody makes a decision. We go 6 months in Scottsdale and then 6 months here at a place at Notre Dame, and it's a 26-hour drive. So luckily, your brother Jake, who could be a cross-country trucker easily because he loves to drive. I know you do as well, but Jake comes out to help us. So we left on Saturday, early Saturday morning, like 6 in the morning, and we drove. The states you touch are Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. Those are the states you go through. So the first day we went about 10, 11 hours, we went to Amarillo, Texas, and we made it to there. And then we were going to go Amarillo to Springfield, Illinois, and spend the night there and then just have like a 3 or 4 hour jaunt this morning. But as we were getting close to Springfield, it was still light out. The dogs were being good. We have three dogs in this little Sprinter van with us. And your mother was like, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. You know, she got that. And Jake was all for it. You know, let's just keep going. So we decided, instead of stopping in Springfield, we went the last right around 4 hours. We just kept chugging along. And we got here about 11:30 last night. So it was basically a 15-16 hour straight drive on yesterday. But I'm glad we did it. But I do have to say that you do going through all those states. I did go through what we like to call the corridor of death. And it's basically right when you're leaving Oklahoma and getting into Missouri, you start to see so many dead and armadillos. Thank you. The amount of dead armadillos on the shot as right as you're getting out of Oklahoma and going through Missouri is unbelievable. I mean, it's like they pick that time of season to try and cross the street and die. We didn't see as many as last year. Last year was man in the 30s, 40s or more that we saw in this corridor. And yesterday maybe wasn't as much, but still, you know, there's an armadillo. Some are smashed. Some are just laying on their backs. It's like, wow, you almost stay silent like you're walking through a graveyard or something, you know, out of respect for the armadillos, which just get destroyed on a stretch of road in Missouri. I do not understand it. And obviously the armadillos don't understand it because they keep doing it year after year.
No, there's a bad joke in there about why does the armadillo cross the road and he doesn't. Yeah, this is the second time I've heard about this now, because Jake and you guys made this drive last year too and said the same thing. I didn't see this personally, but there is this interesting phenomenon where certain states and certain areas just become a place where animals go to die on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw the same thing when I drove from Pittsburgh's airport to Happy Valley. I was going to do a game at Penn State last year, and I have never seen more dead deer along one stretch of road in my entire life. And so apparently that area is to deer what your area is to armadillos there, which is a shame because I don't think I've ever seen an armadillo alive. So it sucks that the only time you guys got to see them is after they had passed.
I mean, I've only seen it on shows. I've never seen an armadillo live. You know, and we're only passing them dead. And you're right, man. Pennsylvania, the amount of deer there that get smoked on the road, it's just unbelievable. But yeah, it's a strange phenomenon. It really is. After going through all these states and the flatland and the open roads, that all of a sudden you just hit this stretch where, man, it's just one after another. We saw maybe one or two deer and probably 20 armadillo. We're just stunned. So it's just a really weird part of the drive, but happy to be back at Notre Dame, where just yesterday was graduation. Mike, we got here, you'll remember this. Jake is reminiscing 10 years ago, he graduated, so it was 11 for you. We got in about 11:45 last night, just going on midnight. And you know what all the graduation class does. What do they do on the night of graduation? Where do they go with their bottles of champagne?
Yeah, so in Notre Dame, there's this weird old wives' tale or superstition that if you're an undergrad and you walk up the steps of the main building, so where the Gold Dome is, the administration building, the Office of Admission, some classrooms are in there, but the whole thought is if you walk up those steps as an undergrad, you won't graduate, and people like myself, nerds, actually avoid it as an undergrad and don't do it, and so the night of graduation, everybody goes, and campus security kind of sanctions it off because they know the drill, and everyone goes and parties. We had literally had people setting kegs on the steps of the front steps of the Golden Dome at Notre Dame. You're tossing beers up to people that have made their way up to the top. People are popping champagne. And so that's what happens with what you can do at a school that's only 8,500 undergrads. So you've got a small enough class to house that. But it's a good time on there. There's a bunch of very sweaty, very drunk memories from that portion of the night. And you guys drove right into the teeth of that as you were coming into South Bend.
We literally parked our car, and as we were getting out, there were just students walking down Notre Dame Avenue with bottles of champagne. We're like, hey, have a good time, you know? And like 10, 15 minutes later, as Jake and I were unloading the van, we could hear them. we could hear them just all going nuts, you know, at the steps at the dome. It was pretty cool, you know. It made you, Jake goes, "Ah, oh, yeah, I remember doing this 10 years ago. Now I'm trying to deal with my kid who's got a cold." I mean, you know, here's what life comes at you. 10 years later, it's a little bit different. And all these 21, 22-year-olds are out celebrating onto the steps. Jake's reminiscent of, my God, it's been 10 years since that.
You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days.
I said, dude, 10 years. I said, try graduating in 1985, you know, and feel how many years, you know? Jeez.
Yeah, no, that's also fair, considering the last time I was on campus for like a five-year reunion, I remember seeing one of the guys back there for his 50th actually earnestly ask one of the ushers where they had moved the stadium to, because they had done so many renovations since he had been there. He did not recognize the campus. So there are levels to this life coming at you fast here. Well, congratulations to Notre Dame class of 2023 and the other graduating college seniors getting ready to head on out into the world. We got a great show for you guys here. As always, download, subscribe, rate, review, leave us a 5-star rating. Plenty of stuff to get to. On the verge of some brooms coming out in both the East and the West in the NBA. A celebration of one career that just decided to call it quits this morning. But, Dad, if we're going to start with celebrations from this weekend, hot damn, there is no better place to start than the PGA Championship. And it feels weird to say, we'll get to the actual winner in Brooks
Koepka
and what this means for him. Like, I would be curious what Brooks's thought was, because it seemed like everybody around this Michael Block story kind of played their part, right? Because everyone understood what we got this weekend was sports movie type special from the world of golf. So if anyone had missed it, the PGA Championship as of 2006 has whittled the number down, but the PGA Championship is one of the majors in the world of golf, and it's the only one that invites the PGA pros. So when you think of your local country club, your local public course, who's got a golf pro there, who's the guy that gives out lessons, this is the tournament where those guys can qualify. It's the only major that doesn't invite amateurs, so doesn't invite young players who are in pursuit of their tour card, but instead invites any of the PGA professionals. Until 1994, they used to invite 40, then it was cut down to 25. Now it's at 20, and you make that cut by playing at a PGA event, the PGA championship event for all of these players. It's the PGA championship invites them after they qualify in that tournament.
Right.
And so they go out here and they play with the professionals. And Michael Block started to make waves Thursday and Friday when he was within one shot of the league. He finished top 10 on Friday and then went through a rain-soaked Saturday and came out on the other side on Sunday paired with Rory McIlroy. Like, there's great footage of them telling him, hey, you played so well. Now for the final round, you're going to be paired with Rory Bleep and McIlroy. And, Dad, how does this guy decide to cap off a weekend where he has done the impossible, he has defied the odds, he goes up and on the 15th hole aces it and doesn't just hit a hole in one, but dunks the freaking thing. Here's the sound of that moment happening. Listen to the crowd at this golf event when he absolutely dunks the hell out of this ball.
At the 15th. The fairy tale story. Gets better. A hole in one for Michael Black.
No way. Rory, did it go in?
It sure did. Dunked it.
At some point, Rory had to be like, all right, don't be a dick. Yeah, it went in. Like, we get it, dude.
Yeah,
but
he
said he really didn't know that it went in. When he was talking to Amanda Baleonis after, he was like, I didn't know. And he's like, why is Rory coming over to congratulate me on a shot that I feel like I just hit kind of close?
This guy, I think a handful of times, including that last interview with Amanda you're talking about, cried. This guy was a weepy guy. You know, again, he's 46 years old. His job isn't the PGA Tour. His job is a club pro. And so, and there were some things that came along with it. You mentioned after, you know, Friday he was tied for 10th. And then you see guys like that then fade away on the weekend. And after Saturday, and again, the weather was miserable, he ended up tied for eighth after Saturday. So you're like, okay, this guy's hanging around. Now he slipped a little on Sunday, but he did tie for 15th. And that was the key, because if he was 15th or better, he was gets an automatic invite back to this tournament. So he got it on the 18th. You talk about the ace that he shot on 15. He had an up and down on 18 that was incredible, absolutely incredible. He gets it. He gets to go to the tournament next year and cries at another post-tournament interview.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
So, big congratulations. I know we finished up talking about the PGA Championship to Michael Block, who felt like the winner of the week. He was the highest finishing pro, so he got a nice, like, crystal chalice at the end of it.
Yeah.
Don't actually know what it's called, because usually I don't pay attention to that part of the ceremony, because we don't usually get a guy who came out of nowhere to almost finish. I mean, borderline near the top. You mentioned finishing top 15, he gets to come back and already has a spot qualifying in next year's tournament at the PGA Championship. If he had finished top 10 in that tournament, I believe he would have earned a spot in next month's RBC Canadian
right.
Open. Top 4 would have gotten him an invite into next year's Masters. And if he had been tied at top 2, he would have gotten a temporary exemption for his tour card.
Yeah.
So I think we all learned in real time just how much is actually at stake. And to do what he did, the dunk on 15 was awesome, Dad, but you mentioned what he did scrambling on 18, knowing
yeah.
he had to make an up and down par to secure his top 15 spot and an invite to next year's tournament, and to do it the way he did, that was incredible. And he did it with the eyes of everybody at his club that he is the pro at back home, all watching. Amanda Baliones got him to cry in the interview after, bringing up text messages that his son had sent her about how proud he was and how this is the coolest moment of his life. And there are also some pretty decent financial ramifications for this too.
Yeah, there are. He won. And if you haven't seen it, you do need to see it. Now he's playing. Now listen, again, he's a PGA, you know, club professional. He's not touring every week, though he did get an exemption to the tournament next week.
Just as some background, this is his fifth appearance in the PGA Championship and his seventh in a major. He also did have 17 starts on the PGA Tour, so he did
right.
have some background in that before he has now settled into his life as a PGA Tour pro who, as they talked about, very famously gives out lessons for like $125 an hour
yes.
at the club that he's the pro at.
He does. And so he won $288,000, a little over $288,000 for where he finished. He gets like $125 per lesson where he's a club pro. So he just basically, in those 4 days, got enough that was worth 2,307 lessons. That's what he got. So it's 2,307 less lessons he has to give because he made over $288,000. Not bad. Again, if you didn't see it, these are all guys golfing together on the PGA, and his reaction when he was told he was paired with Rory McIlroy was incredible. I mean, it was just pure like, oh my God, I get to golf with Rory McIlroy. I mean, it's a 46-year-old dude, man, that he acted like some, you know, weekend warrior says, oh yeah, you're going to play around with Rory. And you go, oh my God, you know, that was his reaction as he was, you know, battling for a top 10 in this tournament. It was priceless. I loved it.
Yeah, it really was a movie type event because, again, like, these guys are in place of normally what we'd have, like, young amateurs that we see going at the Masters and having
right.
great rounds, guys that are up and coming. These are guys who have a lot more years under their belt, and I think that reaction is that appreciation that comes with, hey, I've been kind of close to where these guys are, but I understand the different levels there are when it comes to the big stars on the tour. And as he sits home and he said, there's probably nobody out of this tournament that loves the game of golf as much as I do. This has been his life. This has been how he's made his living, and now getting to live out that dream with that proximity to these stars was pretty cool. And one of the stars he got to live it out next to was the guy who actually won the tournament,
yes.
Brooks Koepka, coming off of a Masters outing where Brooks Koepka really looked like he had returned to form. He had a couple of wins on the LIV Tour that he's a part of and left to go in large part because he wasn't sure his game would ever get back to this form. When Brooks Koepka made the decision, and anyone who's watched Full Swing on Netflix saw that was part of the angst around Brooks deciding to leave, was he wasn't playing golf the way that we had become accustomed to, and now able to turn it back on in this tournament, pull away in the final round. Him and Victor Hovland were battling there before Victor Hovland kind of fell apart in that 16th bunker that had eaten a couple other people alive during the course of that week. Brooks Koepka now is the 20th player with five or more major wins. It's his third PGA Championship win, which he is now one of six players. And Tiger Woods, who has four with three or more PGA Championships, and wins his first major since 2019. And, Dad, I thought it was super interesting when he got asked after the round, because Bryson DeChambeau, who is also in this tournament here, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, the other LIV Tour players, Bryson DeChambeau came out after and said, this validates the LIV Tour in a big way to show we've still got golfers that are playing at the top of the world. Brooks really didn't want to give that a lot of time. Like, if you look at his post-match statements, it reeks very much of Drago from Rocky IV, I fight for me. He's like, I'm not really worried about all that. I'm out here playing for me. And it seems like a guy with a remarkable bit of clarity about who he is, what he did, and what it really means. And it seems to be, that guy wasn't sure he was going to be able to do this anymore. He took a bunch of money knowing it came from a troubling source. And now that he's back on the other side of this, is really just focused on the golf that he can play and not being the banner for somebody's cause.
Listen, you're right, I believe, on why he went there. His golf was in the toilet, the way he was playing. He even said on that Full Swing, the Netflix series, I can't compete with these top guys anymore. So, and I believe he intimated that if he was still playing well before he went to LIV, he never would have gone to LIV. So LIV ended up being where older players were going, struggling players like Brooks, or guys we didn't know yet who felt, I'm going to go get some easier money, you know, in the LIV Tour, then I'll get on the PGA Tour. And we know what that's caused. We can get into what's going on now at the Ryder Cup and Brooks Koepka and other LIV players as well. But it was interesting. He did not want to go down that road at all. He said, this one's about me, basically. This one is about me, you know, not about the standards of LIV, because you're right. DeChambeau just came right out and said, this justifies, you know. When all along we knew there were some really good golfers on the LIV Tour. They just had their different reasonings for why they wanted to go to LIV, and most of it, or just about all of it, being the easier access to money and the ability to get it, depending on where you were in your career. But he did not want to go down that road. Eventually, something has to work out, Mike, with LIV and the PGA Tour. It has to. There's just too many different factions right now. As I said, we can talk about the Ryder Cup, the angst that is already causing our captain, Zach Johnson, for that one. The last interview he did right after the tournament yesterday, just getting peppered with questions that we can chat about really quick. But I don't know what's going to end with this or where it's going to end, but they have to at some point get a better working relationship.
Yeah, and I think that's going to come to a head in these discussions about the Ryder Cup. Should the LIV golfers be eligible and be allowed to play and be picked to be a part of the teams representing the U.S. for the Ryder Cup is what we're going to find out. Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter. and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, we'll get to some NBA action shortly. It was a weekend of washes and a lot of broom emojis coming out in the National Basketball Association. But, Dad, you asked the question, and Zach Johnson, the Team USA captain for the Ryder Cup, got grilled a lot about this.
Oh.
Because after this tournament now, Brooks Koepka sits at 2nd in overall points for the qualifiers for the Ryder Cup team. The top 6 are supposed to be automatic qualifiers.
Yep.
And then after that, you have the captain's picks. You have the other elements of this. And that man was tap dancing through a rainstorm, trying to get around a lot of the specifics of what he would do with these LIV golfers, things like team chemistry that always come up in these discussions here. Do you think this should be an issue? Should it be as simple as, hey, if Brooks Koepka is in the top 6, then he's a part of the Ryder Cup team, and we don't think any more about the distinction between LIV and PGA?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to be in. If he stays in the top 6, he's going to be an automatic pick. The question's going to be the captain's picks after. There's, I believe, 13 golfers on the team. 6 are automatic. My math says that 7 the captains have to pick. That, to me, is where Koepka's going to make it easy. He's going to be an automatic qualifier. So there's really nothing you can do or should do. If he has accumulated those points and it's part of the Ryder Cup point system of the automatic qualifiers, then that's a no-brainer. Then he's on the team. Or any LIV golfer or any golfer for their respective, you know, whether it's the USA or the Europeans, it doesn't matter. You've made it. You're on the team. It's, again, going to be the captain's picks. And Zach Johnson tried to massage through the first couple answers, and the reporters were having none of it. And they just kept going after him and after him about team chemistry, about what he's going to do. And he kept trying to tap dance around it. And I understand it. But that, to me, Mike, is where the issue is going to be. When it's now subjective, when it's now not just you're automatically in, now how are you playing? Who are you? You know, and everything else that's going to come into the equation of picking those other 7 players, how many of them can possibly will be LIV golfers that are in the conversation than how many would actually get picked?
Yeah, and I think the team chemistry portion of things, because obviously we went through that phase where Tiger and Rory and some of the heads of the PGA were very vocal about their criticism of the LIV golfers. And then now I think we've seen through a couple of the majors where you've had these guys not only back, but especially at the Masters playing well, is we've heard a lot less and less of that public friction between the players on these tours. And instead, what I think it's all kind of pointed to is LIV Golf's probably not doing as well as they want to over there.
No.
I mean, that was a league that basically was for the Saudi royal family to wash money through. Like, this isn't like them investing in a Premier League soccer team that already has a normal standing and has been a normal business practice for a while. This had one goal, and I think they stopped releasing their television ratings a while back since they had been on the CW. There's all sorts of things that point to this maybe not being a venture that's going to be for the long haul necessarily. And so I think it'll be a little bit easier on the back end to sort of mend fences, because it seems like at least publicly we've seen a lot of the warring factions and those bad feelings soften enough, and the Ryder Cup will be an interesting litmus test for that, because it's as close as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Outside of who you're paired with in these tournaments, those are teammates, those are the guys that you're rallying with for that entire stretch of time that's supercharged and has all the wonderful feelings of being wrapped in the flag. So that'll be fascinating to see. Not as funny as watching Brooks Koepka's entire posse force CBS to use the dump button for about a solid minute when he was celebrating that win at the PGA this weekend. And probably not as funny as what we imagine Brooks Koepka was like at being asked about Michael Block after the round this weekend. Here's the sound that we have of that.
Think of Happy Gilmore. I didn't get a chance to see him play. I was too busy winning.
You gotta admit, that's a hell of a drive, 450 yards, huh?
Yeah, how do you finish again? Dead last?
If anyone could pull off Shooter McGavin energy, by the way, it would be Brooks Koepka.
Oh, so true. That was one of the first things I thought of when Koepka won, and I'm sure he got asked about Block as well, just like everybody did. It's like, who? I was too busy winning. Yeah, I thought of that. That was hilarious. But listen, it was a very cool weekend for Block. Very cool what went on, because it's more what we don't see, right? That's one of those things where we don't see behind the scenes of what's happening. And then that's brought to the forefront. This guy's crying through the weekend and getting emotional about it. It was a very cool thing. Koepka seems to be getting his game back. And then with the whole Liv situation go on, like I said, I think they'll eventually figure it out. But I thought Zach Johnson, we've been talking about him, the captain of the Ryder Cup team, he was kind of taking veiled shots, I think, at Liv throughout this. And one of them, because somebody was asking him, do you plan on going to any Liv events to kind of scout these guys? And he's like, well, no, I'm kind of playing as well in some tournaments, so I'm not really doing it. Then someone brought up the fact, well, you can watch it on TV. They asked Zach Johnson, do you have CW? And he was like, CW? You know, acting like he wasn't sure what it was. Somebody explained it to him. He's like, oh, yeah, I think we have that. My kids watch their shows on that station. And I was like, oh, man. Okay, dude. Taking just dropping Amen. Little grenades in there.
Listen, the CW has the distinction of bringing back Legends of the Hidden Temple on their streaming app in a way that nobody saw or heard of. One of the greatest game shows of my young lifetime that they've somehow managed to bury and get completely zero coverage is every indication to me of what's going on over there for Liv Golf. So congratulations to Block. Congratulations to Brooks Koepka. Congratulations to South Florida sports right now, as Brooks Koepka is a guy that, as someone said, the trend in South Florida sports should have let us know that Brooks Koepka was probably going to go out here and hammer time some folks this weekend. Because don't look now, we know the Florida Panthers, who also in a weird bit of symmetry with the Miami Heat, were a team that won the President's Trophy last year, was a top seed, and then came in this year as an 8 seed, and are now up 2-0 in their series. Also mimicked by the Miami Heat, who now take a commanding 3-0 series lead after beating the brakes off the Boston Celtics last night. Dad, that was as one-sided and dominant a performance as I've seen in a game where the Celtics were somehow still favored in a way that is inexplicable given what we have known about this series. So, Dad, what stuck out most to you about that particular game last night where the Celtics just seemed to lay down?
Somewhat stunned. And now I will say this, if you play sports long enough and into the professional level, you are going to have bad games. It is just going to happen where nothing goes right for you. So that happens to everybody if you play long enough. But if you're in it long enough and you're in these situations, the higher you go, the more pressure that mounts. Remember, this was a team, where were they last year at the end of the year with basically the same roster? They were in the finals, were they not? So,
and they were, I gotta say, they were also, though, excuse me, this Boston team or the Miami Heat team? Because Miami Heat were the one seed last year, too, in the East.
Yes. Yep. This Boston team, what they did, what they were able to do last year. This is a young, people say, well, they're a young team. You know what? They're a young team, but they have experience in this area. All right? They have played deep into the playoffs and into the finals with some of the guys on this team. So we kept hearing the word soft a lot, Mike. Everybody says, oh, they're soft, they're soft. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say anybody is physically soft, because these are all great athletes. We've seen this Boston team be fantastic, obviously, led by Tatum and by Brown. where to me, the for some reason, and this is what I can't explain, it's a must-win game for you. To me, it's the mental side of it. Mentally, if you want to say soft, but you're driving yourself mentally, right? You're not doing the things you normally do. If shots aren't falling, shots aren't falling, okay? And you keep shooting through that. And we've seen Tatum do that, miss early and make late. But defense, listen, defense is about X's and O's, but defense is about want to. And when your body is not doing the things that you need it to do in this situation, that to me is the mental side of it, Mike. You're mentally out. This was a 30 to 22 game after the first quarter? That's nothing. I mean, the Celtics are still in this thing. They're playing for their lives. And each possession seemed to build Miami's confidence and tear down Boston's confidence. And everybody's wanting to talk about, well, Mazzulla, this young coach, you know, they had basically the same team and they seemed to be tougher last year. I've said this and I'll continue to say this. Listen, coaches are extremely important. Do not get me wrong. I am not saying they don't have their value on the team. They have a lot of value, a ton of value. But from when I started playing sports to the day I'm done talking about sports, I will continue to say this. The players have the most effect in the game because they're the ones on the court, on the field, on the ice, playing the game. They're the ones that actually have to execute said game plan out there. And again, this isn't a team that stunk and all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, look where they are in the Eastern Conference Finals. This is a really good Boston team with a couple of great players that are leading them. So to me, this is the mental side of you just, not ready is the wrong word because you're ready to play the game, but one side confidence building and the other side's confidence eroding as each possession is going on.
They got bullied. They got bullied in this series. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, like none of those players, I won't say any of them are soft, but that was a soft performance by that team.
Oh, it was.
They got bullied
yes.
by a team who knows exactly who they are. And that's my biggest thing with the Boston Celtics is while they've got these great players, and we know Tatum and Brown are both due a bunch of money this offseason, and it'd be crazy for Boston not to try and retain
yes.
two guys
yes.
that are all NBA players who have been to the Eastern Conference Finals three of the last 4 years and the finals in the mixed into that as well. But this team in so many important stretches, especially in the postseason, what we've kept coming back to is when it gets to crunch time, I don't think they know who they are. I don't think they've got one guy that they look to. And, Dad, you know this. You played on a D-line with Reggie freaking White. I played on an offensive line with Zach freaking Martin. Like, at some point, knowing where your dog is matters to the rest of the group. Every group that we see in the NBA playoffs right now, by and large, knows where the ball's going to be when things are on the line. Or at least knows the couple guys. With Boston, it seems like everyone's kind of looking around wondering who's going to do what when it matters most down the stretch of these games. And that's the confounding thing for a team that's got as much postseason experience as this young core has. It makes me wonder what's missing. Because there's been different coaches at the helm throughout this process for them. We've seen them go through a couple of different guys there. We've seen the same group of stars. But, Dad, I don't know if it's a lack of, you know, outside of Al Horford, veteran leadership who's going to sort of grab this locker room by the collar. Because on the other side, you've got the human excuse destroyer in Jimmy Butler, who's just overcome in sheer force of will and been so great himself that he's allowed the Caleb Martins and the Max Struces of the world yeah. and the Gabe Vincents to go out and do what they've done, which is flip the math completely on this series. The Boston Celtics attempted the second most three-pointers per game in the NBA this season behind Golden State, and they're getting wholly outshot. I think overall Miami's made 15 more threes during the course of this series and shot a much better percentage than the Boston Celtics, and it's because you've got one force of nature who's grabbed this series by the horns on their side and Jimmy Butler, while on the other side it's this constant will they, won't they of who's going to show up between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Which amazes me because you said it. They were in the finals last year. Some of these guys have incredible deep playoff run experience. So that's the befuddling me. And I'm not sure I'm really explaining it right because everybody, again, is saying how soft Boston was. And what I'm trying to say is it's the mental side of their makeup that was making them physically play soft. Because I'll continue to say, I'll go to the defensive side of the ball. A lot of that is want to. And when all of a sudden guys are dribbling by you and you're not stepping in front of anybody and you're not diving for the balls and you're standing around a little bit, it's like you're obviously not doing that. There's a reason you're not doing that. And again, I've said this a lot. You know, when you take the air out of the sails of somebody, how do then they react? Everything is great when you're doing well. How about when you're not doing well? Then to your point, I look directly to a Reggie White or a Jerome Brown or a Seth Joyner to say, okay, who's going to pull us out of this thing? You know, and that's what you do. You look to Tatum and you look to Brown to pull us out of this thing. And we've seen others contribute as well, but those are the guys. So that to me is the most amazing thing is you'd been there last year. You'd been to the finals last year. You had everything to play for in this game. Now, Miami just flat out played better than you. They did bully you and their confidence just drove you into the ground. And what you saw is, as we talk about this a lot, it's easy to lead from the front, right? Easy to lead when it's all going well. But what happens when all of a sudden you don't just get knocked down, you get punched in the face. And that's what Miami did twice to Boston. Just absolutely punched them square in the face, knocked them down, and Boston didn't get up. That's the really surprising thing to me, that they just had the absolute will taken out of them.
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown said kind of the quiet part loud after the game. He's like, give credit to Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and all these guys who we should be handling and aren't, who are playing outside themselves. And that's the point of this. Like, Miami is the poster child for the death of the NBA's regular season.
Right.
Because this is the team that shot, I think, was 26th in the league in three-point percentage during the year. They weren't any of the things that we're seeing now out of that basketball team in a way that's confounding for everybody involved. But you're right. This Boston Celtics team, and I heard Shaq and Charles talking about it after, this was the kind of lay-down effort that you get when you're getting beat in the game that's the closeout one. You're down 2-0. Right. You've got a chance to go. You've been better on the road. There's all these things in front of you. It's not game four. We're on the other side. It's 1-2-3 Cancun. But this is a 1-2-3 Cancun kind of effort that we saw on the court. Because, Dad, in the other series, like, we've never had a sweep in both the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals.
Never.
And I believe that's what we're going to get. Like, we've got game four of the Lakers-Nuggets series coming up tonight, and I think that the Nuggets are going to do this. I get it's on the Lakers' home court. I get they've got LeBron James, but this has been the most no-nonsense effort from the Nuggets that we've seen in quite some time. This is a team who's been building towards this for a long, long time. We saw the quotes about Michael Malone and Jamal Murray about how when Jamal Murray was injured, he wondered, were they going to trade him? Were they going to deal him? And Michael Malone coming out and saying, nope, we're going to stick with it. Our ownership group is behind us. Why would we rush this? We have seen a team that's taken advantage of a lack of expectations for them from the outside world. It's not them firing their coach or worrying about that at the end of every season. It's not them making a knee-jerk trade for some superstar because they've got all this expectation around, especially a star player. Like, they have never had the worry of Nikola Jokic threatening to leave somewhere or trying to work his way out of Denver. And so they're making use of that. And so they've got that assuredness on that side where I think they're going to sweep the Lakers. But we haven't seen the Lakers lie down. They've made every game close. Even in the first two games of the series, when they're down 20 at halftime, they find a way to come back. They find a way to make it close, even if they're not ultimately going to get over the finish line. And that's what happens when you're on a team with LeBron James, where you know how to get through those moments. You know if you're Austin Reeves or if you're Jared Vanderbilt or if you're Rui Hachimura. Hey, if things really are hitting the fan right now, we got two world beaters on our team that we can look to and that are actually going to deliver more often than not in those moments. And that seems to be, of the final four teams, what Boston lacks in a way that everyone else has, which is a sure place to look when you need your footing over the course of a game.
Yeah, the difference of two organizations that have basically 17 championships of how they're going about it right now. They're both going to lose this series. We'll see if they're both sweeps. But you're right about L.A. They have been competing. So to see it maybe go one more game wouldn't be shocking. But Denver is just – they're just better. They're just absolutely better. And it seems like Boston, to me, Mike, is in a no-win situation even if they win. Because they're going to lose this series. If they come back and win game four and look good doing it and are hustling and stuff, everybody is going to say, where the hell was that when you needed it the most in game three before you went down 3-0? Where was that effort? Obviously, if they lose, I got to live with the stigma of getting swept. But even if they win, it's going to be a light golf clap and a, okay, well, great. You showed us when basically the series over, but when it really counted, you guys did nothing but lay an egg. So while they both could be sweeps, I agree, one has been much more competitive than the other. And I'll give the Lakers credit for that. You just have a better team. Where Boston, if you just matched up on paper the rosters, Boston has the better roster, right? Everybody would think they have the better roster, but that's why they say you don't play the games on paper and, you know, don't tell Jimmy Butler you don't have a chance or you get playoff Jimmy Butler.
I was going to say, Denver media, if you want your team to win, make sure you pick the Heat publicly here. Make sure you don't give him any inch, because if you give Jimmy Butler this fuel, he is going to weaponize it against you. So I would have that as my argument there. Because what Jimmy Butler is capable of doing, and to me, this stat sums up the entire experience of the Jimmy Butler Miami Heat. This is courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. Since 1991, this Celtics Heat series is the 580th instance of a team being favored in each of its first three playoff games in a series. The Celtics were favored even last night in the first three games of this series. The Heat took a 3-0 lead. It is just the third time since 1991 that a team has taken a 3-0 lead being underdogs in each of the first three games. The other two times, the 2018 Celtics versus the 76ers, and the 2020 Heat versus the Bucks. Jimmy Butler has been on two of the three teams that have done this as underdogs in a series. It is everything you need to know about this team, and it is why they are on the cusp of another appearance in the NBA Finals, going back to the 2020 bubble appearance. So congratulations to the Heat for showing up, and we will continue to have a lot of dog x-ray memes aimed the way of this year's Boston Celtics team. In my sports career, we always got preached the importance of the little things, whether it's having your hand behind the line on a sprint, finishing out every drill, or making sure you have the right 6-inch step to start a drive block on the offensive line. It all mattered. How you do the little things is how you're going to do everything, because small actions have big benefits. This is just like how taking care of your gut health can support your whole body health. With our friends at Seed and Seed's DS01, their daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. I'm getting my first shipment on the way here, and I am pumped to try it out. The thing that stands out to me, in addition to all the great health benefits, is the convenience. You don't have to refrigerate DS01, and so the free travel vial that I'm going to get with the welcome kit, I can take on the go with me. I can have DS01 with me wherever I need it during my busy schedule. Your guy's gut is the central hub for all these various pathways throughout your body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. And everything with DO1 is backed by science. Lots of science. It was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with the new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DS01 a product you know you can trust. And the best part with prebiotics and probiotics, they work best when they are consistently used like any other routine health habits. So Seed's subscription service is easily going to build DS01 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO. Dad, before we get to this, that, and the third and finish things off for the day, it is worth noting that while we have talked a lot about the people on the court and the effect that they'll have on these basketball games in the NBA postseason, that there are also larger forces at play here. I don't know if you saw this last night. So Alexandra Francisco, who's a reporter for the New England Patriots, tweeted out that every city that Taylor Swift plays in has promptly had its NBA team get eliminated. This comes on the heels of her being in Philadelphia most recently when they got bounced by the Celtics. She finished up her run, three shows in Foxborough this weekend. Awesome looking rain-soaked shows too. Some great songs. Everybody seemed to have a blast. By the way, I don't know how she goes out there and does the show that she does with that much rain on the stage here. It's impressive. I'm glad she made it out without injury. But, Dad, it is worth noting in the rest of the NBA playoffs, if we look ahead and if we put any stock in this, Taylor Swift has upcoming dates in Los Angeles and in Denver, albeit after the NBA Finals, but will not play in Miami during this tour. The closest she got was playing shows down in Tampa, but did not make her way all the way down to South Beach. So if you're looking and using that as predictive, congratulations to the 2023 NBA champion Miami Heat.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Jimmy Butler's going to get crowned, and it's all thanks to Taylor Swift, who, oh, by the way, is looking to make right in the area of about $600 million on this tour. That's good incentive to play in the rain. Right? It's raining.
Yeah,
I think I'll go out there and play in the rain anyway. I'm good.
Yeah, I could tell you who wouldn't have folded in game three against the Miami Heat. Taylor Swift.
That's exactly right.
She's been out there getting it. So, all right, let's finish this show off the way we always do. This, that, the third. Three quick stories. As always, download, subscribe, rate, review, leave us a 5-star rating, and check us out on the DraftKings YouTube channel and the DraftKings Network, Samsung TV Plus, all that good stuff. But Dad, let's start off with this. Our weekend roses. It's Monday. We hand out roses reality TV style to deserving winners here. Mine, it should be obvious to everyone at this point, if you're unfamiliar, this is my Valhalla. This time of year, college lacrosse is getting going, and we have got the final four set in men's and women's college lacrosse, and our Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Dad, on the men's side, heading back to championship weekend, getting a win yesterday over Johns Hopkins in the quarterfinal. This is their first trip back to the final four since 2015 with a chance to hoist it all.
Still looking for that first national title. We've seen a few chances of that when you and Jake were there as well, and it did not come to fruition. So it's on one side, it's number one Duke against Penn State, and then Virginia. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, Virginia's number two, right? And then Virginia against
Notre Dame. Yep, so it'll be
Notre Dame,
Virginia. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And Virginia has beaten Notre Dame twice this year. So let's hope that boy, it's tough to beat a team three times during the season, comes to fruition, as that's the matchup in Philadelphia coming up on Saturday before the title game on Monday. Yeah, that was great to watch the Kavanaugh family and their time at Notre Dame with lacrosse has been incredible. They were so much fun to watch. We had all our stuff working in the car driving home. They're not the biggest team around, but man, when there's a ball that's on the ground, they come after you like a bunch of hyenas. They are just knocking you around, slapping you around, trying to get the ball. It's really fun to watch.
They are junkyard dogs. So again, on the men's side, you've got Notre Dame against Virginia, Duke against Penn State on the other side of the bracket. So Notre Dame would have to beat the only team that's beaten them this year in Virginia, and the Duke team that has been the bane of their postseason existence for my entire college lacrosse watching lifetime. On the women's side, you're going to have Northwestern, the one seed, facing Denver on one side, and then Syracuse, the two seed, facing three seed Boston College on the other side. So congrats to everybody. Going to enjoy that. We'll talk a lot about that leading into next weekend. Dad, who's your Rose go-to?
And by the way, Boston College is the one that knocked out the Notre Dame on the women's side of lacrosse there. My Rose goes to the son of the guy that played in the same era as me, Keith Tkachuk, who played with the Coyotes when I was hanging around there, and his career began in 92, mine ended in 94. His son, Matthew Tkachuk, is having himself a series right now in the Eastern Conference Finals. Both their games, Florida against Carolina, went to overtime, and he scored both overtime winners. The first one with 13 seconds left in the fourth overtime, and in game two, just 1:51 into the first overtime, he scores. So he gets my Rose, the son of Keith Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk scores both overtime goals to put Florida up 2-0 in their series against Carolina.
Keith Tkachuk was a part of the only hockey poster I ever had up in my room, the Phoenix Coyotes, like you talked about. It was Keith Tkachuk, Jeremy Roenick, and none other than in the net, Nikolai Hobby-Boulin. Those aren't
there
boos.
You go.
They're Boulin. So, yeah, this one also makes me feel old. This is the rare combo platter of things that make you and I both feel very old watching Mac Chuck go out there and do his thing. Speaking of things that make us feel old, Dad, let's get to that. Carmelo Anthony. Hanging up the shoes. Carmelo Anthony, the longtime NBA star, announced his retirement this morning in a video posted on his social media accounts after 19 seasons, Dad. The 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA veteran, was a part of the NBA's 75th anniversary team and came in that historic 03 draft class, right? Was there with LeBron, was a part of that group with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh and company, and was sensational. In my lifetime, him and LeBron was the real rivalry when those two came into the league. You had the high school phenom in LeBron James going up against Carmelo, who had just lifted the national championship trophy in his 1 year at Syracuse and was one of the smoothest scorers I've ever seen. He'll be 80 years old and will still be a walking, living, breathing bucket.
Yeah, he will. Listen, a hell of a career, 6 teams. It's funny that you come in with the rivalry with LeBron, and that's the last team he played for, was with the Lakers. He didn't play last year, year before he finished up with the Lakers. So, listen, he's a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame. Remember, the Basketball Hall of Fame is not just the NBA, but his NBA career was incredible. But he has, what, 3 gold medals to go along with it, 1 year at Syracuse, and they win the title. So, I mean, he's got a pretty good basketball background. That draft, basically, 4 of the top 5 are going to be Hall of Famers, right? It's going to be Carmelo, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Well, is it Darko Milicic was the second pick in that draft?
Yeah,
he's obviously not going to be in the Hall of Fame, but those other ones are going to be. He's probably going to be just on the outside looking in, right?
Also receiving votes. But shout out to Carmelo Anthony. One of the smoothest shots and best offensive players I've ever gotten to watch. Yep. A part of some of the best Nuggets jerseys on earth. A guy who I'm sure Knicks fans would still kill for now. And who gave us the hashtag StayM70, which was supposed to be Stay Mellow, which is one of the greatest reaches I've seen on that app. happy trails to him. Ironic, the year that the Denver Nuggets are probably going to win the NBA title, one of the greatest Nuggets of our lifetime calls it quits and announces his retirement. Dad, let's get to the third. This is a weird one. The city of Kyle in Texas wanted to try and break the record for the most Kyles in one gathering in the world. They were trying to break a Guinness World Record for the largest same name gathering during the Kyle Farah Texas Extravaganza that was May 19th through 21st at Lake Kyle Park. The Gathering of Kyles, as it was called, was set to take place on Sunday at 4 p.m., where all eligible Kyles were there to report. Your name had to be spelled Kyle, K-Y-L-E.
Yes.
You had to bring a valid form of identification. They were trying to set a record set in Bosnia in 2017 by the Ivans, who had set a record for the most names with 2,325 participants in Bosnia on July 30th of 2017. Dad, the Kyles unfortunately fell short this year. I had word from Boots on the Ground, my buddy Kyle Bandujo, who hosts the Big Screen Movie Sports podcast, saying that they believe next year they're going to get the number of Kyles. My question to you is, do you think Mike's could take this down with relative ease? Because there are a lot of us.
Yeah. We, you just have to show up, right? I mean, you got to get the Kyles there. Mike's, we would dominate this. Exactly. Did your buddy Kyle Rudolph, did he go? Kyle Rudolph,
wow.
Did he go into town there? I mean, Kyle, how about Kyle Vandenbosch? How about Kyle Petty? You know, those are the few of the Kyles that I know that could go and help the situation out.
Yeah, it's a shame, and those Kyles are going to have to live with knowing they didn't do their part to try and break this record, because I'll maintain next year at the Super Bowl in Vegas, there's probably 2,400 mics in Vegas proper when that's going on. So we will make the call, we will rally the mics, and we will take this into our own hands to snatch this back from the Ivans and what they've done. We are glad you took this podcast into your hands. Download, subscribe, rate, and review it. Check us out on the DraftKings YouTube channel as well, and live here on the DraftKings Network. Thanks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Go.
Boom. Money in the bank.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah!
The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
In my sports career, we always got preached the importance of the little things, whether it's having your hand behind the line on a sprint, finishing out every drill, or making sure you have the right 6-inch step to start a drive block on the offensive line. It all mattered. How you do the little things is how you're going to do everything, because small actions have big benefits. This is just like how taking care of your gut health can support your whole body health. With our friends at Seed and Seed's DS01, their daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I'm getting my first shipment on the way here, and I am pumped to try it out. The thing that stands out to me, in addition to all the great health benefits, is the convenience. You don't have to refrigerate DS01, and so the free travel vial that I'm going to get with the welcome kit, I can take on the go with me. I can have DS01 with me wherever I need it during my busy schedule. Your guy's gut is the central hub for all these various pathways throughout your body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. And everything with DO1 is backed by science. Lots of science. It was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with the new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DS01 a product you know you can trust. And the best part with prebiotics and probiotics, they work best when they are consistently used like any other routine health habits. So Seed's subscription service is easily going to build DS01 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO.